Okay, good morning. The weekly shiur in Maseches Moed Katan is dedicated by David and Paul Bounzer in OMO Construction. And normally the weekly breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Nishmas Shimon Ben Zev and Fega Bas Chaim, but today is a fast day, there's no breakfast today. Sorry. We're done Moed Katan Daf Yud Beis with a clean break at the top. We're going to start with Amar Shmua. Amar Shmua. Mekabwe Kiboes B'tocha tchum aser, chutzla tchum mutter. We're talking still about what you can do on Chol Moed, and specifically hiring workers to do work for you, work that might otherwise be malacha and considered problematic. But here you're hiring a non-Jew, and so you could and specifically it's a kabbalin. It's not like you're paying the non-Jew by the hour, in which case his work would kind of be attributed to you. He's kind of doing it on your behalf. Instead, you hire him to do a job, and you're paying him a set fee for the whole job, so he can come and go. He could set his own hours. He could set his own timetable. So he's really an independent contractor, more than a wage earner, more than a worker, more than an employee. And since he's on his own, he's not considered doing work directly for you. He's really doing work on his own account, and therefore, you can hire him to do this work. But you can only do it. He can only do the work chutz l'tchum. As Rashi points out, our concern is that someone seeing him do the work will see that he's doing the work on your property or work that was attributable to you, and they're going to think that you hired him today to do it, and that would be improper. It would be improper to first hire that independent contractor today on Chol Moed. And so, therefore, if it's b'tocha tchum in an area where Jews are around, then it's aser. But if it's chutz l'tchum, if it's outside the tchum, then it would be permissible, because no one's going to see you. No one's going to see him do the work. Amar of Papa, v'afilu chutz l'tchum, and even outside the tchum, lo amrin ela deleka masa demikrava lahasam. That's only if there's no, if it's not anywhere near a Jewish neighborhood, so no one's going to see it. Avalika masa demikrava lahasam aser, but if it's near a Jewish neighborhood, then it is aser, because people are going to, even though it's outside of your tchum, but it's near another Jewish neighborhood, and people are going to know, oh yeah, that's your property that you own in that area, and then this guy must have been engaged by you today to do this work, and therefore it's aser, you can't do that. I remember when I work at the Bezdin and the Bezdin of America, our office is on 7th Avenue and 27th Street, and we needed to get new carpeting, and the carpet installation people wanted to do it on Shabbos. Ugh. So I called Rabbi Willig and I said, can they do it? Now, these were not Poland. We weren't paying them by the hour. We were paying them by the job. They were clearly kabbanim. And this was a case that was clearly chutz l'tchum in the sense that it wasn't near any Jewish neighborhood. And it wasn't even, it was lekam masa demikrava lahasam. There are no Jews walking around on 7th Avenue and 27th Street. And even if they were walking around 7th Avenue and 27th Street, no one was going up to the 12th floor of that building. So it was clearly an area that was far away from any Jews seeing it, and Rabbi Willig said it's not a problem. You could have the carpet installed. Meaning they don't tell them to do it on that day, but if they happen to install the carpet on Shabbos, it's not your problem. And that's the salacha. Okay, Amar of Misharshia. Now he further qualifies it. Rav Misharshia further qualifies it and says v'chilecha masa demikrava lahasam. Even if there's no Jewish neighborhood nearby, Nami lo amrin elo b'shabasa suviyam tovim. That's only going to work on Shabbos and Yontif where no one's traveling, and therefore no one's going to see it. D'lo shchichi in shidazli lasam, because people don't go there. Aval b'chol shomoid, but so everything's different on chol hamoid. D'shchichi in shidazli v'asu lasam aser. But on chol hamoid, where people are traveling around, so even if it's far away from a Jewish neighborhood, and even though ordinarily on Shabbos no one would see it, on chol hamoid people are moving around, and therefore you can't have that work done on Chol Moed. In that sense, Chol Moed is more chamor than Shabbos because of this Mar Zayin problem. Okay. Mar Zutra Bereder of Nachman, Banu Le'apadna Mekabli Kiboas Chutz L'tchum. So these workers, these independent contractors, built a mansion for Mar Zutra Bereder of Nachman on Chol Moed, I guess on Chol Moed, maybe even on Shabbos. I'm not sure. Rashi doesn't make clear what we're talking about here because we've been flipping between Shabbos and Chol Moed. But this might even be on Shabbos, outside of the Tchum, right? Now, the Nimuke Yosef points out that Bar Zutra Breder of Nachman didn't know that this mansion was being built for him. Otherwise, the question is, why would he have allowed this to happen, right? We just said you can't do this. Actually, we didn't. Let's see. We're going to see what happens. Ikol Rav Safra Rav Huna Bar Chinina V'lo'olu Gabeis. After it was built, Rav Safra and Rav Huna Bar Chinina came to visit him, but they didn't go into the mansion because they thought it was impermissible to go into a mansion that was built in violation, even though it was Chutz L'Tchum. V'ika Damri Hunami Lo'ol B'Gavei. And there are those who say that he himself, the Mar Zutra Breid Rav Nachman, who had this mansion built for him, didn't go into it himself. The Gemara says, "Ve'Omer Shmuel k'makabli kibos b'tocha tchum aser chutz l'tchum mutter." Why is this a problem? Shmuel, we just quoted Shmuel as saying above that it's only a problem within the tchum, but if you did it outside of the tchum, again, these were independent contractors; they weren't doing it at that time on that timetable at your say so. They were doing it on their own. So, and it was outside the tchum, so why was it a problem? So the Gemara says, Adam Chashev Shaini. Just like we said for some examples in the previous Amud, that we have a different standard for an Adam Chashev. Someone as Chashev as Mar Zutra Breid Rav Nachman holds himself to a higher standard, and even though on a technical level this was mutter to be done for him, he thought that he should be held to a higher standard, and he wouldn't even go into this mansion that was built for him because it was built on Shabbos, even though technically he didn't violate anything. The Gemara, as we'll see, is going to continue this pattern of Adam Chashev Shaini later on this summit, and I think on Amud Beis. We're going to talk about other situations where people hold themselves to a higher standard, even though the baseline halacha might say it's mutter. Vika Damri, another answer is Siua Sia Betivna Badayu. This is that he actually contributed straw to the building effort, as if to say that he was paying them a wage. They were doing it directly for him. It's not as if he just gave them a contract and then they did it on their own time. He was actually supervising them directly. He was giving them straw, and as a result, they were more like polim rather than kablanim. They were like direct workers for him, and therefore the building, even though it was chutz l'tchum, was attributable to him, and therefore us there to use. Okay, Rav Chama Sharo Lehu Lavunagri Debe Reish Galusa Lemevet Lehu Avudasa B'chol Demoada. So Rav Chama allowed these Avunagri. Avunagri, Rashi says, is Mesadre Shulchanos. I'm not sure if that's people who built tables or people who set the table, like waiters. But it was some kind of worker that was working in the house of the Reish Galusa, and he allowed these workers to work on Chol Hamoed. Why was that? Amar kevan da'agar lo kashakli. Since they're not collecting wages, they're not being paid for their work, sharshuye hu deka misharshu. They just get meals, they get paid kind of in meals, they're allowed to eat. So therefore, deka misharshu le v'les lanba, therefore they're not considered like workers, they're just like attendants who happen to work, to be doing this work on Chol Hamoed, and therefore it's not problematic. Okay. Tan Rabbanan, Mekablin Kiboas B'moed, Lasoso Achar Hamoed. So you're allowed to hire a Gentile on Chol Hamoed to do work after Chol Hamoed. We just said you can't tell them directly on Chol Hamoed to do the work, but you can kind of commission them on Chol Hamoed to do work after Chol Hamoed. Uva Moed Aser, but you can't do the work on Chol Hamoed. Kol Shel Davar, here's the rule. Kol Shu Oseh, anything that you can do on your own on Chol Hamoed or on Shabbos for that matter, Omer l'Nachri v'Oseh, anything that's permissible for you, you can tell an Achri to do. V'kol she'eino Oseh, eino Omer l'Nachri v'Oseh, but something that's not permissible for you to do, Amiro l'Akum, is impermissible. You're not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do it for you. Tanya, you definitely have a similar brisa. Mekablin kiboas b'moed, la'soso achar hamoed. Same thing we just said, that you can hire the Gentile on Chol Hamoed to do the work after Chol Hamoed. Ubovad shul yimdod, as long as he doesn't do measurements, v'shul yishkol, he doesn't weigh things, v'shul yimna, and he doesn't count things, k'derech shu osa b'chol. Meaning, you could hire a contractor to do work for you after Chol Hamoed, but you can't bring him into your house and have him do all the measurements and run tape measures all over the place. That's already looks like he's starting the work. It's an uvda d'chol. That's not permissible. Okay. Tan Rabbanan, Ein Marvian Behema B'chol Shamoi. You're not allowed to breed animals, meaning physically, actually have them engage in mating, arrange for them to mate on Chol Hamoed. Kayotze bo. So why would this be? So Rashi says, Ein marvin behema mishum de'avid malacha b'chol shemoid, that it's a malacha on Chol Hamoed. And then the Rishonim and others struggle to try to figure out what malacha precisely this is, to mate animals. It's not, there's no malacha that immediately comes to mind. The Levush says it's a tirchei yisera. We know from other gemaras we've done that on Chol Hamoed, you're not allowed to do tirchei yisera, you're not only allowed to engage in things that's going to be extra effort, extra work, and that's what this is. I'm not a farmer, so I don't know how much tircha is involved here when getting animals to mate.
Rashi says over here that enu chazim ba behema, meaning just they're supposed to hold on to her. So probably that's a tircha.
An animal's big. You kind of have to guide them or whatever. I don't know what's involved. Fine, but that's the Levush says that's the issue. Tircha yisera. Rashi says it's a malacha, whatever it is. Good. Kayotze bo, and while we're on the topic, it says the Braisa, not only are you not allowed to do this on Chol Hamoed because it's considered malacha, it's considered work, but kayotze bo, similarly, ein marvin bebechor v'lo bepsuei hamukdashin. There are other types of animals that have a status that you're not allowed to work them, namely a bechor. A bechor you have to bring to Yerushalayim, right? And you're not supposed to work a bechor. V'lo bepsuei hamukdashin, karbanos that became pasul have a special status. And you can't work them, you can't, and so therefore you can't breed them. You can't, this is part of the, it's in the category of working an animal. Tanya, Yidok, we have another braisa that says, Ein marvin behema b'chol shomoid. Similarly, you can't breed animals on shomoid. Rabbi Yehuda omer, chamora shetiva marvin aleha zachar, v'shvil shlo titztani. If you have a donkey, a female donkey, shetiva, that's like eager to mate, that's in the mating season, it's in heat, so then you are allowed to bring a male donkey to that chamora in order that she's loshtinstani, in order not to lose the opportunity, that she doesn't cool off. That's considered a davar aved. The only time that you're going to be able to get these animals to mate, or it's going to be easiest to get these animals to mate when the animal's in heat, and therefore take advantage of it at that moment. It's a davar aved if you don't. Visharkol behemos, if this happens to other animals, machnisin osanu vikaros, so then you just bring it into the barn, and Rashi says, virovas me'atzma, and they'll mate on their own. I assume the difference between the chamor and the other animals here, and why the chamor you do it directly, and the other animals you bring them into the barn, is just physiologically, that's what you can get away with, meaning they'll end up mating on their own as opposed to a chamor, which won't. But I'm not sure, I don't know the biology here. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, similar Braisa, or new Braisa, in Medirin, you can't fertilize. And fertilize here doesn't mean spreading, you know, fertilizer that you buy in Home Depot. It means taking the animals and having them actually fertilize directly, you know, lay their waste directly onto the field. So you can't do that. That's considered a, you know, farming. That's considered a harisha or zarei or whatever, some malacha or some subset of a malacha. So you can't do that. Lo b'shabbosos, lo b'yom tovim. You can't do it on Shabbos. You can't do it on Yontif. Not only that, but lo b'chol shamoid, and not on chol moed. V'imbo me'lehen, but if the animals happen to wander over there on their own, mutter, so then that you got lucky, no problem. You could just let them do that. Vein mesayino's son. But you can't, I think vombo emelem doesn't mean the animals went on their own. It's that you had Gentile shepherds that happened to be passing through your grazing area, and they happened to go to the bathroom there, so that then you got lucky. They messiano son, but you can't guide or assist these Gentile shepherds to bring the animals to your field. They mosrin lahem shomer. You can't send them a watch person, meaning send a helper to guide them to spread the fertilizer all over the field, to spread the sheep all over the field in order to fertilize. And then the Braisa says, Haya schir Shabbos, schir Chodesh, schir Shana, schir Shavua, if they're paid not by the hour, but just by the day or by the month or by the year or by the Shemitah cycle even, so then Messiah's son. Rashi says that's okay because it's Kiyu Shal Nachrim Hu. that I guess this kind of gets to the distinction, similar to the distinction between a poel and a kablin, where a poel, you're paying them by the hour and you're kind of supervising them directly, whereas a kablin, you're independent contracting them and it's up to them to figure out their hours and when they do it. So here you're hiring these people or these shepherds to guide your sheep and to fertilize as appropriate, but you're not directly supervising them, you're not paying them by the hour, you just pay them by the month or the year or even the 7-year cycle, and so therefore it's much more in their domain how to set their hours, and therefore you don't have to supervise them as much, and therefore you could even kind of give them advice to do the fertilizing even if it's a Chol HaMoed. This is a special kula by Chol HaMoed specifically. And not only that, the most of them, Shomer and Ares Sonam, you could have assign them an assistant to have them graze the sheep at the appropriate places. Rabbi Omer b'Shabbos b'Tova, that if it's Shabbos, you can kind of be machzik tova to them. You could say thank you. Meaning you don't have to. Not only do you not have to stop them, but you could even, if it's Shabbos and they happen to fertilize and graze on your property, you could even say thanks. B'yom tov b'mizonos, and if it's yom tov, you could even feed them a meal as in gratitude for them fertilizing your place. B'moed b'schar, and on Chol HaMoed, you could even pay them. That's Rebbe. That's at odds with the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma had said that you can't do this. Rav Yosef hilchasa k'Rebbe. The halacha is like Rebbe, so you can actually take a little bit of a more active role in suggesting to them to graze the sheep in specific places in order to fertilize. Okay. Says the Mishnah. So this is picking up on the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah was talking about a situation where you had olives, and the olives are being cultivated for olive oil, and in the course of the process, you ended up getting distracted for whatever reason, you became an ovel or something happened, and then you're left in a situation where a critical part of the processing of the olives is going to happen on Chol HaMoed. And if you don't do it, maybe it's going to be a pseida, it's going to be a davar aved. And so we had a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda said that you can do the minimal amount in order to preserve and to make sure you don't lose out on the olive oil. And Rabbi Yossi said you could, once you are in this situation, it's a davar aved, so no problem, just do the entire malacha. It's a davar aved, it's heter gamor, and you could just process the olive oil. So the Mishnah here continues and picks up and says the exact same thing is true for wine, if you're processing wine. V'chein misha yeyeno b'tocha bor. Let's say you're processing wine, you squeeze the grapes, and now you have the wine sitting in the pit that collected all of the squeezed grapes. Viru avel ones, and now something emergency happens, you become an avel, or you had to run and take care of some emergency. Oshi too, or some other thing happened, right, you got distracted. So zoef vigomer vigaf kedarko divrei Rav Yossi. So just like in the first part of the Mishnah, Rav Yossi said you could just do it, you could do it to save it. If it's a davra aved, you're going to lose out on this wine if you don't process it now. And so therefore you could do whatever you need to do to process it now, up to and including sealing up the barrel to preserve the freshness of the wine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, also olimudim b'shvil shel yachmitz. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can do minimal work, minimal malacha, to make sure that the wine doesn't turn to vinegar, so that it's not machmitz, but you can't do anything other than the most basic things in order to save the crop, save this batch. So exact same machlokes we had in the previous Mishnah. And the Gemara then says v'tzricha, and you need both Mishnais. You might not have derived one halacha from the other halacha, right? This seems to be repetitive. Just if you could do it if the same halachas applies to olive oil, why doesn't it apply to wine? But the Gemara says v'tzricha, you need both. Diashminun kamaisa, because if you had only told me the halacha or this machlokes with respect to olive oil, bahi kama Rabbi Yossi, so maybe by olive oil, Rabbi Yossi says that you can do the whole process to save the olive oil, mishum de Mishcha nafish pseide, because olive oil is more expensive and therefore it's going to be a greater loss, and that's why Rav Yossi was makel by olive oil. Aval chamra du nafish pseide, but by wine where the loss is not as great, ema modu where Rabbi Yehuda, maybe Rabbi Yossi is going to be moded to Rabbi Yehuda that you can only do the most minimal effort possible to save the batch. V'yashminan basraisen, if it had only told you the second case, meaning this Mishnah, meaning the case of the wine, bahikam Rabbi Yehuda, maybe by wine, that's where Rabbi Yehuda is machmir, to say you can only do the most minimal efforts possible. Ava bahach, but by the olive oil, which is more expensive, which is going to be a greater loss, maybe he would agree with Rabbi Yossi that you can even do the full process once you're at it. And so therefore, tzricha, you need both Mishnayos to teach you that they don't distinguish based on how much of a loss there is. They both hold exactly the way they hold, whether we're talking about olive oil or whether we're talking about wine. Okay, coming off these Mishnayos, it says, Amrav Yitzchak Bar Abba, Man tana shinui b'moed b'davara aved d'lo k'Rabbi Yossi. So Rav Yitzchak kind of summarizes Rav Yossi's position here and says, who's the tana that says that even though it's a davara aved, even though there's a loss, if you don't do the malacha, that you still have to do a shinui? That's clearly not Rav Yossi, right? Rav Yossi was our opinion in the Mishnah, which said that when it comes to a davara aved, if something's at risk of loss, then you could just do the malacha outright. You don't do a shinoi. That's Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba is kind of summarizing Rabbi Yossi's position in the inverse by saying the Tana who holds that you need a shinoi by a davara aved is clearly not Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rabbi Yosef, halachak Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yosef says, in fact, halach is chak Rabbi Yossi. So the bottom line is, if you have a davara aved, if something is going to, you're going to lose something, you risk the loss of something, if you don't do a malacha on chalamay, you can do the malacha on chalamay, and you don't need a shino, you can just do it straight out. Bo minei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, they asked Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, mahu lemesha chavita deshichra b'chol demada. Are you allowed to seal the barrel of beer, a barrel of beer, on chalamay? And again, this is part of that process to preserve the beer from going bad. And so you'd think if it's a davar aved, if you risk losing out on the beer or the quality of the beer by not doing it, you're clearly allowed to do it on Chol Hamoed. So Amar Lahu, Sinai Amar Halacha K'Rav Yossi. So he said, Sinai, which is a nickname for Rav Yosef, the Gemara in Brachos says that Rav Yosef was referred to as Sinai and Rabba was referred to as Oker Harim. The difference between Sinai is a nickname for Rav Yosef because he just knew so much. He had such bekiyas, he knew so much Torah. And Rabba was nicknamed Oker Harim, person who moves mountains, because he wasn't known as much for his bekiyas, for his breadth of his knowledge, but for the, depth of his knowledge. Yeah, his analysis. He had kind of excellent and very incisive, he was an incisive thinker. He thought deeply about halachic issues, so he's known as Oker Harim. So Rav Yosef has the nickname of Sinai, someone who knows a lot, breadth of knowledge. So here they're using his nickname, and he says, Amar Lahu Sinai Amar, Rav Yosef said, halachic Rav Yosef, that the halacha is Rav Yosef. So why are you asking me whether you're allowed to seal a barrel of beer on Chol Hamoed? Clearly you're allowed to seal the barrel of beer on Chol Hamoed, because it's a davara aved, you're going to lose out if the beer goes bad. So he answers, Emer da'amar Rav Yossi b'chamra. Maybe Rav Yossi only said that with respect to wine, because, well, we're about to see, d'shichra mi'amar. How do you know that he applied that rule also to beer? Because what? Chamra taim ramai mishum d'nafish p'sedeh. Well, okay, one second. So the Havin was, maybe he only said that with respect to wine, and he didn't say it with respect to beer. The Gemara says, no, but he continues, and he says, Chamra taima mai mishum denafish psedei. The reason why he said you're allowed to seal the wine is because you're going to incur a great loss if you fail to do so. Shechranami ispa pseda. Shechra also, beer also, there's going to end up being a loss, and therefore you're allowed to do it. I think the Havmina was that the loss is not as great, and so therefore maybe he didn't apply, but the conclusion is that no, he applied it across the board. Whenever it's a pseida, whenever it's a davar aved, you're going to lose out, you can do the malacha. And I'm sorry, I keep on interrupting myself. And how do we know that beer also has seida? How do we know that beer also has a risk of loss if you don't preserve it, if you don't seal the barrel? To Amr Abaye, because Abaye said, Amruli aim, my mother told me, Barshis Save Vishia, if you have a barrel of six sa'a, and it's sealed, I'd rather have that mibar tamni vloshia. I'd rather have a barrel of six sa'a sealed than a barrel of eight sa'a and unsealed. In other words, sealing carries real value, and even beer, not only wine, but even beer is at risk of decay, of turning bad if you don't seal the barrel. So again, the halacha is you're allowed to seal the barrel on Chol Hamoed, because if you don't do it, it's a davar ave. If you don't use it, you're going to lose the quality of the beer. Okay, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav, he quotes Rav as saying, Hilchos Moed Kilchos Kutim Balacha. So he says that the halachos of Chol Hamoed are just like the halachos of kutim, of when we, you know, how we treat kusim, how do we treat non-Jews in halacha. Gemara says, "Lomai hilchos." So what does that mean? Why? In what sense are these two sets of halachos similar? Amar Rav Daniel Bar Katina, Lomar Shein Akuros Vein Lomedos Zumizu. To teach that they're considered like barren, as if they don't give birth, meaning we don't. You can't analogize one halacha to another. That just like by halachos of kusim, the halachos that apply to how we treat non-Jews, you can't analogize from one halacha to another because the halachos are just too sensitive. They're too unique. Meaning every halacha, every detail of those halachos is unique, and you can't analogize very well. So too, when it comes to Hilchos Chol Hamoed, there are lots of details. We see in the Gemara, there are lots of details, and you kind of deal with each specific detail, and you can't state broad principles very easily and analogize from one halacha to another. I saw a quote of the Truma Sadeshan points out that this is not an absolute rule. If there is no reason at all to be machalik between two halachos, then you can analogize, you can compare one halacha to another. But you just have to be sensitive to the nuances, that the halachos are not necessarily analogous to one another. Cases are not exactly analogous to one another in a way that's more sensitive here than in other areas of halacha where you have more basis for analogizing from one halacha to another. What's an example of this, where you can't analogize from one halacha to another in Hilchos Chol Hamoed? Amar Shmuel, Zofsin Kuzisa Vein Zofsin Chavita. You're allowed to seal up a jug, and you're not allowed to seal up a barrel. Rav Dimi Minarda Amar Zovsin Chavita Vein Zovsin Kuzsa. Rav Dimi Minarda said just the opposite. You're allowed to seal up a barrel, but you're not allowed to seal up a jug. So again, this is an example where just because you're allowed to seal up one type of vessel doesn't necessarily mean you're allowed to seal up another. You can't analogize halachos. But why did they make a distinction, or why did their shitos flip here? Why does one person think that you can seal up a jug but not a barrel, and the other vice versa? Mar chayish l'pseida, umar chayish l'tircha. So one is more focused on, a jug is smaller than a barrel. So if you think that what triggers your ability to seal it up is the pseida, and that's what you're focused on, so then it's more likely that you could do it for a barrel, which is bigger, which is going to be a greater loss if you fail to seal it up. Whereas the bigger barrel is harder to seal up. There's more of a tircha. So if you're focused on the tircha element of Chol Hamoed, of why it should be impermissible to begin with, you're focused more on that, then that's going to kind of win the day more than the pseida, and then it's going to be mutter to do it for a smaller thing, for a jug, but also to do it for a bigger thing where there's more of a tirfa. Okay. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Naktinan Hilchos Moed Hilchos Shabbos. He says, I hold that Hilchos Chol Hamoed are similar to Hilchos Shabbos. Yesh mehem patur aval aser, that there are some halachos, there's some halachos, there's some things that are impermissible of a pater avalaser. That's generally a phrase that refers to yisurim drabanan, where it's usur to do it, but you don't get punished for doing it. It's only yisur drabanan. You don't get the punishment that the Torah would prescribe. So in other words, there are halachos in Chol Hamoed that are only usur midrabanan, just like there are halachos in Shabbos that are only usur midrabanan. And similarly, the yesh mehem mutter l'chatchila, and there are some things that are completely heter gomer mutter l'chatchila. Okay, Rafuna chatzdu lechatzda b'moada. So someone harvested Rafuna's crops on Chol Hamoed on his behalf. Esve Rabba bar Rafuna or Rafuna. So Rabba, the son of Rafuna, said to his father, he brought a challenge from the following brisa. Tochanin kemach. This is a long brisa. It's going to go on for a few lines. Tochanin kemach b'moed. You can grind up wheat, you can make flour on Chol Hamoed, with Tzorach HaMoed, for the use on Chol Hamoed itself. V'shelo Tzorach HaMoed Aser, but you're not allowed to grind up wheat if it's not for Tzorach HaMoed, if it's not for use today, not for use for this, for the holiday. Davar she'avad b'moed mutar asos b'moed. A davar avad, as we said, if there's a risk that you're going to lose out on something, you could do it on Chol Hamoed. Davar sheino avud b'moed aser, but if it's not a davar avid, you're not allowed to do malach on Chol Hamoed. B'med davar mamurim, where does this heter for davar avid apply? B'tlushin, that only applies for processing for something that's not attached to the ground. I'm sorry, b'tlushin min akarka, where it's unattached to the ground. Aval mechuber b'karka, but if the crop is still attached to the ground, afilu kulo avud aser. So then, even if it's a davra aved, even if you're going to lose out by failing to harvest that crop today, it's still usur to do it. There's a special chumra that applies, according to this brisa, a special chumra that applies to something that's attached to the ground. Vim ingo mayochal, however, if you literally have nothing to eat, if it's that dire, so then kotzer, then you can do everything. You could cut it from the ground, even if it's attached to the ground. Ma'amer, you could bind it together. V'dash, you could thresh it. V'zor, you could throw it up into the wind. U'borer, you could separate it. V'tochin, you could grind it. U'bovad, however, even then, u'bovad shelo yadush b'paros, you can't do your threshing with cows, because that's more of a derech kol. That's something that's done during the week. So you have to do it in kind of a haphazard way. So that was what Rav Huna's son, Rabba bar Rav Huna, quoted to his father. He said to his father, how could you have harvested your crop on Chol Hamoed? We just said that there's a special rule that says, even if it's a davar aved, you're not allowed to harvest something that's mechuber, that's something that's attached to the ground. So Amar Leih, so Rav Huna responded to his son, Yichidahi, that's just a das yachid, that brisa doesn't reflect norman of halacha, that's just one person's opinion. And I don't hold like that. D'tanya, how do I know that's a das yachid? We have another brisa that says, Klal Amar Rav Shulman Gamliel, Mishun Rav Yosi. Rav Shulman Gamliel quoted Rav Yosi, and specifically Rav Yosi is saying, Davar atolosh min akarka, afilu miktsaso avud mutar. So something that is not attached to the ground, if it's davar aved, even partially davar aved, so then you can do it on Chol Hamoed. V'hamechubar l'karka, but if it's attached to the ground, afilu kulo avud aser. Even if it's a davar aved, you're not allowed to harvest it. So there you see Rav Yosi is the one who holds this special rule that it's something that's mechubar, something that's attached to the ground, even a davar aved, you're not allowed to cut it, you're not allowed to be kotzer, you're not allowed to harvest it on Chol Hamoed. So the Gemara then interrupts and says, well, if Rav Yosi is the author of that anomalous opinion, Rav Yosi is the author of that unique opinion, vi Rav Yosi, so we already know Rav Yosi from the previous Amud. Rav Yosi is the famous Tana in our Mishnah who says that if it's a davar ha'aved, you're allowed to do it even without a shinoi, right? So vi Rav Yosi, if this brisa was written by Rav Yosi, so then yadush nami b'paros. You should even be able to use cows to do, right? We just said in the brisa that even in that situation where we're going to allow you to do it because you don't have anything to eat, right? So we're going to suspend that prohibition, but we then still restricted it and said you got to do it with a little bit of a shino. You can't do it in the normal way that you do it on a chol, right? But if it's Rabbi Yossi that's the author of this Mishnah, of this Braisa, it's Rabbi Yossi that has this anomalous opinion, this unique opinion that you can't do a moacha for davar aved if it's mechuber lekarka, that's at odds with what we know Rabbi Yossi to say that you don't need a shinoi. So therefore, why you should be able to do it even with cows? Amar of Yitzchak bar Abba, man tana shinoi b'moy b'davar aved d'lok Rabbi Yossi, right? As we just said, Rabbi Yossi is the one who doesn't hold the need of shinoi. So Amar lecha hachanami, he says that's true. Kaven dekol, but however, kaven dekol yu malav b'paros daishi, ha'edne nami lav shinoi hu. He says you're misunderstanding why the author of this braisa said that you can't do it with cows. It has nothing to do with shinoi. And in fact, even on a regular workday weekday, you don't use cows to do the threshing. It has nothing to do with davar aved. I'm sorry, it has nothing to do with shinoi. And therefore, the fact that Rabbi Yossi holds that you don't need a shinoi doesn't cause you to question attributing, or meaning it doesn't preclude you from attributing this braisa to Rabbi Yossi. It has nothing to do with shinoi. Rashi points out, what does it have to do with then? He says, Mishum de'uvsha milsahi. You're doing it in like mass production. You're making noise. You're making a whole production. That's why you can't use cows, but not because it would be a not because we are requiring you to do a shinoi. Fine. So anyway, in summary, what we just said is that when Rav Huna had his crop harvested on Chol Hamoed, and his son challenged him based on this braisa, saying that the braisa says even for a davra aved, if it's mechuber, you're not allowed to do it. So his answer was simply, I don't hold like that das yachid. That's just one opinion that that Rav Yossi says. Okay, Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan, Tochanin b'moed with tzorach hamoed v'shlo tzorach hamoed aser. You're allowed to grind for tzorach hamoed, as we said, but you're not allowed to do it v'shlo tzorach hamoed. Can't do it to prepare for, you know, to stockpile flour for after chomoid. Vim tachan v'hosir hariza mutter. But if you happen to grind flour for chomoid and you added some more while you're doing it, then it's mutter. Kotzim eitzim b'moed tzorach hamoed v'shlo tzorach hamoed aser. You can cut down trees for chol hamoed, but if you do it for after hamoed, it's aser. Vim katzus v'osir is a mutter. Same thing. If you started cutting down trees and you just add a little more, you do a little more, then it's mutter. Matilun sheichar v'moed v'tzarach hamoed. Same thing. You could brew beer if you want to drink beer on chol hamoed. V'shol tzarach hamoed aser, but you can't prepare for after. Vim hitil v'osir is a mutter. But if you prepared more while you're at it, and you have leftovers, so then it's okay. You can eat it after Chol Hamoed. But importantly, you bovad shlo yarim, but you can't make harama. You can't say, okay, I have a party coming up next week. I'm going to serve lots of beer at that party. I have off from work this week, so I'll make harama, right? The halacha is, if I have leftovers, I can use it after Chol Hamoed. So why don't I make myself one keg of beer to use today? And while I'm at it, I'll just kind of make a lot, and I'll have a whole bunch of kegs left over, and then it'll work for me for my party next week. That you can't do. That's called harama. You're not allowed to do that. But the Gemara then says, Verminu. We have a contradiction. We have a braisa that says something different. Matilin sheichar b'moed, with tzorach hamoed. You can make beer on chomoed, with tzorach hamoed. Vishuo with tzorach hamoed. So we can't do it to prepare for next week. Echad sheikhar, tamarim v'echad sheikhar saurim, whether it's date beer or barley beer, v'afal pi sheyesh lo yashan, and even though you have some in your refrigerator ready to drink, marim v'shosa min achadash, you can make new beer as harama, and then just drink a little from it, and then you have your beer left over for your party next week. That seems to say explicitly you can do a harama. You can kind of trick yourself to make extra beer for your party next week. My answer is tanoihi. It happens to be machokas tanoihi. D'tanya in marimim bekach. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda omer marimim. It's machokas tanoim as to whether or not you're allowed to do harama for malacha on chol hamoed to do extra. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber says the halachas like the Tanakama that in marimim. But there are all sorts of kulas that apply. Mm. Maybe if it's a malacha derabbanan versus a deraisa, you have to look in the Shulchan Aruch there, and there's a lot of discussion on harama for these purposes. Okay, Rav Chatztu Echatzta B'chol the Moada. He had his field, his crop harvested in Chol Moed. Shama Shmuel, Shmuel heard Ikbid, and he got upset. So it sounds like Shmuel is holding like this Das Yachid, Rav Yossi, who holds that when it comes to a Davar Mechubar, you're not allowed to harvest it even for a Davar Aved. The Gemara says, no, whoa, Shmuel wasn't just holding like the Rav Yossi, just holding like the Das Yachid. Rather, Chatzta Dechiti Hava Dua Hava Pasid. Rather, it was wheat, and wheat is not going to go bad. If you wait an extra week for the wheat, an extra few days for the wheat, it's not going to go bad, and therefore it wasn't a Davar Aved. That's why Shmuel was Makbid. That's why Shmuel thought that Rav had done something improper. Rav my time of Aved Achi. So how do you explain what Rav was doing? If it was wheat and it wasn't really a Davar Aved, so how was he able to harvest it? He didn't have anything to eat. He really needed to harvest it. But Shmuel didn't know that. He wasn't intimate in Rav's details. He didn't know that he had nothing else to eat, and that's why he was makbid, and he kind of complained about what Rav was doing. Inami, or alternatively, Adam Chashev Shaini, maybe Shmuel thought that Rav should have been more makbid because he was an Adam Chashev. Okay, Rav Yehuda Nesia, Nafak B'chumrasa D'madusha, he went out on Shabbos wearing this special kind of ring. Va'ashti Maya Da'achim Kfeilar Amah. And not only that, but he drank, this is not on Shabbos, but he drank during the week warm water that had been warmed up by a non-Jew, by a non-Jewish chef. Shomer of Ami, Ikbid. Rav Ami heard about this and he was makbid. He said, you are doing something wrong, Rav Yehuda Nasi, on both accounts. So Amar Rav Yosef, my time Ikbid. Rav Yosef said, why did Rav Ami complain about what Rav Yehuda Nasi was doing? If what he was complaining about was the fact that he took this ring out on Shabbos, he walked out on Shabbos without an eruv wearing this special ring. Hatanya, we have a brayso that says Hashirin Hanizamin Vatabos. If you wear jewelry, bracelets and nose rings and rings, you wear jewelry. Harein kekelim kekoa kelim hanitalim b'chatzer. You're allowed to do that. It's not a problem to wear jewelry out on Shabbos, on without an eruv. Im yishum deishti mayim maya da'achim kfeil arama. And if what he was makbid on was the fact that Rav Yehuda Nasi was drinking water that had been warmed up, that had been cooked by a non-Jew, and that the problem was a problem of bishul akum, you're not allowed to have a non-Jew cook food for you. Hamar Shmuel bar Yitzchak amar Rav kol shenecha kamus shu chai in wa mishum bishul einachim. One of the rules that applies to Bishul Akum is you're allowed to have a non-Jew cook food that you would have eaten even if had he not cooked it up. So, for example, water, you're allowed to go to Starbucks and have a non-Jew cook water for you because you could drink water cold also. You could have a non-Jew cook carrots for you because you could eat carrots raw as well. So either way, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He wasn't doing anything wrong by carrying or by going out of the chatzar without an eruv with a ring. He wasn't doing anything wrong by going to Starbucks and having his water cooked for him. So the answer is Adam Chashev Shaini. The reason he was makbid was because he thought Rav Yehuda Nasi should hold himself to a higher standard and not go to Starbucks and not wear a ring on Shabbos. Amar Rav Chanan Amar Rav, Kotzeitz Adam Dekel B'moid, you're allowed to cut down a tree on Chol Moed, Af Bishen Otzarach, even though you don't need the tree, Elo Unisaurus, but you need a sawdust, Unisaurus Shalom. You're allowed to cut down a tree even if all you need is the sawdust. Laiyit al Abayi cursed him. He thought that was an insufficient reason to do a big malacha like cutting down a tree just for a little bit of sawdust that you need. Ravashi avle Abba b'shalnaya. Ravashi had a forest in a place called Shalnaya. Azol umiktziyei b'chol d'mad. And he went out to cut trees on Chol Moed. Amrei Rav Shila mishalnaya or Ravashi. So Rav Shila from Shalnaya said to Ravashi, my daitech. Why would you do that? What are you thinking? De Kamar of Chananel, Marav, are you basing this on the fact that Chananel quoted Rav is saying, Kotzeitz Adam Dekel B'moed Afal Pi She'eino Tzarech Elo Nisoros Shelo? Are you doing this because he said that you can cut down a tree even though all you need is the sawdust? Halayi de la Abaye. Abaye cursed him. He thought that was improper. So Amrulay, lo shimiyulay. I never heard of the second part of the story. I never heard of Abaye cursing him. I just heard the halacha that you're allowed to cut down a tree even if it's just for the sawdust. Klomer lo svirulay. He heard of Abaye, but it's just that he didn't hold of Abaye. So he said it in a nice way. He didn't hold of Abaye, meaning I thought that you can cut down a tree just to get it sawdust. And so what happened next? Ishtamit narga, his axe fell off out of his hand. Bayu mifzike l'shake, and it kind of got caught on his leg and it hurt his leg. Shavke v'hadar asa. So he left. He gave up on that. He realized that it was a simon from Shemayim that his axe fell from in his hand and hurt his leg, and he left and he came back after Chol Moed and did it a different time. Rav Yehuda shar lo mi'akar kisna. So Rav Yehuda says you're allowed to take out, cut flax, umiktol kshusa, and cut hops, lo mi'akar shumshmi, and cut down sesame, meaning to harvest all these things. I understand why there's an immediate utility for flax, because you could use it to cover certain kind of foods, to preserve them. I understand why there's an immediate utility on Chol Moed to cut down hops, because you can make beer right away with those hops. But why would you need to cut down a sesame plant on Chol Moed? The deal was, if you were going to make sesame oil, it would take some time to dry out the plant before you could harvest the oil from that. So it doesn't have any immediate utility on Chol Moed, so why are you allowed to cut down the sesame plant? So the answer is, chazi unazuye de ispu. You can use it for sesame seeds right away. He had a orchard where it was time to harvest it on Chol Moed. Katfe, he harvested it. Lashana, people saw him doing that, and then the next year everyone went to their orchards on Chol Moed, even though it wasn't the Davra Aved. So here you see a situation where he did the right thing, but it looked bad for everyone else. And therefore he was mafgir, he gave up ownership of his pardes. He felt bad that he had misled the people in this way, and therefore he gave up ownership of his pardes. A new Mishnah, Machnis Adam Perosav Mipnei HaGanovim. On Chol Moed, you're allowed to harvest your peros. This is another example of a davra aved. You're afraid that thieves are going to come and steal your produce from the fields if you don't harvest it right away. So you're allowed to harvest it right away, even on Chol Moed, to save it from the thieves. V'shola pishtano min ha-mishra, you can raise your flax from soaking b'shvoshol tove to aved so that it doesn't get ruined, meaning if you can't let it sit too long, so you have to take it out. What's important is that you not time these things to fall out on Chol Moed and put yourself in a position where you're in a davar avid position. And if you did on purpose time it so that this would happen on Chol Moed, you'd be put yourself into a davar avid situation, so then you can't save it, you should lose out. Gemara says, Tanu b'vajshli achnisam. All these things that you're allowed to do because of a davra aved, because you're going to lose out, that's only if you do it privately. You don't want a marasayim problem of people seeing, like the Gemara just said at the very end, you don't want people seeing and drawing improper conclusions from your doing these malachos on Chol Moed. Rav Yehuda have like shurei, he had beams, aylinhu biyamama, and he took them in during the day. Amr lay Abaye, because I guess it would have been a problem, maybe there was going to rain or something. It was a davar aved. Amr lay Abaye, v'atanyu b'vach yachnisam b'tzina, b'toch beso. So Abaye said, how are you doing this in broad daylight? You should have waited till night, because we just said that you got to do it b'tzina, you got to do it privately. Amr lay tzina dahani yamamahu. He pointed out, actually, the more discreet way of doing this is to do it during the day. Kevin de Belila Bo Gavri, Sere, I'm going to need to hire more workers to do it at night because things are dark. Uvo Meduchre Denura, and I'm going to have to light torches. It's going to cause a whole scene to do this at night. It's much more discreet to do it during the day and just quietly pull in the beams during the day. Uvsha Milsa, it'll cause a great disturbance and a great commotion if I do it during the night. So I'm better off, it's more mitzina to do it during the day. Okay. Have an easy pass.
I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. 70, 70 and a half.